Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Dan. How was your week?
Not too bad. Pretty good.
Yeah.
First week of fall camp for the football team is in the books. Scrimmage today. How was your week?
It was good. First, you get the boys off to school all right. Are they adjusting? That was, I don't know if it was tougher for me or Sam, but.
First day was a little rough.
Yeah.
Adjusting.
Yeah.
Getting back to, I don't know, because they spent the summer at the Y, you know, and it's a little wilder there. A lot of kids just running around.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun. I mean, let's be honest.
So then you have to go to school, and yeah, there were a couple things. Very next day, though. I mean, rest of the week. The last 2 days of the week, they were fine. They got it turned right around. I let them know that this would not stand. The Olympics, though. We got a lot of UK football to get to, and we'll talk a ton of Kentucky football today on the show. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. And then at ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter, at MJP18, at @DReefer. You can listen to the show online, WLXG.com. You can get it on the Google Play app and iTunes, WLXG. Type that in. You got it.
Right there.
I've been watching the Olympics every night. Have you?
I mean, if you have DirecTV, and I don't know if the others, like Dish and Time Warner, do the same thing. But after 4 hours, a little thing pops up that says, due to inactivity, like, we're either going to turn your TV off or you need to push a button.
Power-saving mode.
Yes. And every night that comes on because we have not changed the channel.
Right.
So I'm only watching what's on main NBC. I will say that. I haven't watched much of the other channels.
I've primarily watched the main NBC as well. But I do flip around and make sure I'm not missing anything because I'll learn that something else has gone on that NBC, the main channel, won't mention. Like, their main coverage, whatever they're on, that's what they're on. And they don't really
stop.
And
I've seen a lot of criticism of their coverage, too.
Well, I criticize them for that, for sure. Let us know what else is going on. But I think that has to do with ratings. They want NBC, the main network, to get as high ratings as possible. So if they tell you about anything, they don't want to drive you away from there, even if it is to go to one of their other entities.
Yes.
They didn't want to do that. So they don't. But if you watch NBCSN, the sports network, that is more like the Olympics that I remember, where they're going from one event to the next, stopping back in the studio with kind of a, instead of Costas in the big cozy room and the couch, it's more like a sports desk.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what happened today. You just saw this. This was the story earlier today at this place, and here's badminton real quick, or whatever it is. But that's where the basketball is, too.
Yeah, basketball has not been on main NBC.
No, those games are at like 6, so main NBC, they're in. They give local news time to do that. But at least some kind of acknowledgement of it, like last night. The United States just barely beat Serbia in basketball, men's basketball.
And the game before that against Australia, they were down at halftime. I mean, they had a tough game there.
But the main NBC was so much on track and field and swimming that they didn't even say, hey, the U.S. men just barely beat Serbia. There was no acknowledgement of it. That's my main criticism of it. But I have found on two different, it's like channel 205 and maybe channel 600 on DirecTV. It is a mix of everything Olympics. And so you can just move the cursor around, excuse me,
and decide which one you want to watch.
Yeah. You can go to whatever screen. So it could be as many as 8 screens sometimes up there between like CNBC and Bravo and USA and everything else. And then you can just choose, which one you want to watch. And then if you press select, it takes you straight to that channel. But for the most part, I've stayed on the main channel because that's, Michael Phelps. The swimming has been amazing.
It's been just incredible to watch him and to watch Katie Ledecky and Simone and Maya. I mean, the U.S. swim team, and then the older dude who won
Anthony Irvin,
who won the 50 free last night. Yeah. He's all tatted up.
Did you see his story? Anything about him?
Yes.
Like, he sold his gold medal that he won 11 years ago?
16 years ago.
16 years ago. Okay. And he sold it. He sold it 11 years ago. He sold it in 2005 for like $17,000 on eBay, and donated all of the money to the tsunami relief efforts in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So he didn't have one anymore. 16 years later, he came back. He almost committed suicide, or maybe attempted to. He was down. Had drug abuse problems. Mm-hmm. It just was not going well. He comes back and wins a gold.
I know. Just incredible. And last night, for three guys to tie for the silver medal,
yeah,
was something I'd never seen before.
No. And then that guy, the kid Schooling is his name.
Yes.
From Singapore.
Yes.
He is eligible to win, I think, $740,000.
Yes.
Just from that victory, that gold medal victory, because the NCAA allows college athletes, because he's going to be a junior at Texas on the swim team. I mean, you talk about impermissible benefits, that would be one you would think, but the NCAA passed a rule, I guess, where this is an exception, and it's called the, I don't know, gold medal program or whatever, but they allow countries to give money for winning a gold.
And every country gives a different amount. It's not a set amount. Like, the U.S. gives $25,000 for gold, I think, $15,000 for silver, and $10,000 for bronze.
And so Singapore, $740,000 for gold, but they've never had a gold medalist in swimming, I don't think. And he has to give 20% of that back to the swim team in Singapore, but how about being a junior in college and cashing in $740,000?
Well, and I know it's been a couple of days, and stuff has happened since then. But since the last time we were together, I mean, the whole Chad Leclos, Michael Phelps deal.
Yeah.
The Lily King calling out the swimmer. And I mean, the swimming has been phenomenal.
She said, what did she say? Amofova, what is that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
The Russian.
Yeah.
Well, I read an article where they said, hey, she's not the doper you think she is. She's not as bad. She's not the Cold War enemy you're making her out to be. So I read it, and there were some circumstantial things that made it seem like, okay, well, you could maybe give her the benefit of the doubt. But the reason you can't is because Russia, entire country, had a program for doping.
Yeah.
All their athletes were on a doping program that they instituted.
And that may be through no fault of her own, but it is what it is. And sometimes
so she just stood up to Russia and went, nope, I'm not participating, Mr. Putin.
Yeah.
No. I'm sure she did. And then to turn around and say, well, if you're going to point the finger at me for performance-enhancing drugs, what about all the pot and alcohol Michael Phelps used? He should be banned for life because, you know, marijuana and alcohol are such big enhancers in the pool.
Yeah, they help so much.
Yeah. He would drown instead of win 22 gold medals. Then the Iron Lady, Husheva, whatever her name is. Like, her husband is all roided up over there. Like, he takes a shot of antibiotic steroid to the rear end before every match. And it's lucky that the people around him are not caught in his roid rage and decapitated somehow. Because he is insane. But my wife, before I knew anything about this woman at all, I've never heard of Husheva, didn't know she was the Iron Lady, none of that.
Yeah.
But they all stand up there and they stretch, put their arms over their heads and all that stuff. And I don't know what this area is under her armpit that comes down to the mid area. Is it the deltoid? Is that what it is? I don't know what it is. It is massive. Both sides. She looks like it's the deltoid. I mean, all swimmers have strong deltoids,
yes,
but hers are accentuated. And the rest of her, she looks, they call her the Iron Lady. Well,
yeah,
she looks like it. And before we knew anything, my wife goes, she's on something.
Yeah, that's...
You can tell. She's on something. So it was awesome to see the Iron Lady get put out last night by Dorado, Maya Dorado.
Maya Dorado.
And then her story is amazing, too. Like, this is her last Olympics. She's, what, 26 maybe or something like that?
Yes.
And perfect for her. And she just barely got there. Like, there was a yes in my house when she did that.
And then Simone Manuel becoming the first African-American woman to win gold U.S. In swimming, an individual swimming event.
Did you read that article?
Her reaction was priceless. That was awesome.
Did you read that article?
I didn't read the article. Jerry Manuel
of the Washington Post wrote, like, from his perspective as a black man, how important it is for Simone Manuel to have won an Olympic gold medal in swimming. I mean, I guess I didn't realize this, but there is a majority of the black population that can't swim. Like, it's over 50%. Hispanic population as well, Latino population, over 50% cannot swim. And so he, traces it back to the, segregation, black people, minorities were not allowed into certain pools for segregation, but then, country club, all that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a deep, deep history of swimming, I guess, that excludes. And so he said he's in his 40s or 50s or whatever, and he can't swim. Which I didn't realize that this was it, but I guess it's been known for a while, kind of a stereotype, but I
do think it was incredibly important.
Yeah.
And I do think in between Simone Manuel and Simone Biles, there are going to be a lot of Simones born.
You're right. You're
because,
right.
Because Simone Biles also is just the power that comes from someone that is 4'9".
Unreal.
She is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, she is unbelievable. But maybe my favorite thing about this whole Olympics has been watching Allie Raisman's parents.
The
other gymnast who won silver medal in the stands. They are a show of their own. They cannot, I mean, it looks like her mom is going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Pass out, literally looks like she is having a heart attack. They are hilarious to watch.
They are. I mean, the dad's bad too. You know,
I know. They're both so.
Back to the pool. What about Ledecky last night in the 800 meter? There was no one else in the pool nobody had made the turn at the other end when she finished.
And you're talking about, those are the seven other best swimmers in the world.
Yeah. She broke the world record, obviously.
But I mean, that's like her competition is against like the next best swimmer in the world.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close to her.
When she got out to the big lead, I thought, well, this is a long race.
Yeah.
She's going to tire down. And it's going to be a tight finish. No, she just kept adding distance. That was like a secretariat performance.
I know.
That was insane. So now what's next? Do you even know? What dominates next week's prime time?
I think track and field, probably.
Track and field?
You know, all the sprinting and the
So we get to see like Tyson Gay and Justin Gatlin.
Yep.
I watched some of it last night. Did you see the girl who won the shot put? Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Carter's her dad, who played for, the Giants, right? And he won a silver in that event in 1984. And so here she comes, and she's a big girl now.
But she could literally hoist me on hand and throw me 20 feet.
So when I saw her, I thought, wow, that's an Olympic athlete. Because she doesn't look in shape. She's big.
But
and
she
then
looks
she
strong.
Threw. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Then she threw the shot put, and I was like, whoa.
The power that from that. Yeah, I saw that last night.
Yeah.
Now, I will say I'm not part of also I think the criticism of NBC's coverage. And I understand why they do it. It's so American driven. So it's they really only show the stuff that we're kicking butt at, which is most things. You know, we're doing we're doing fairly well. I don't know that we're going to dominate the track and field.
Probably not.
The same way we've been doing swimming and gymnastics and stuff like that.
You know, I heard the criticisms of so American dominated of the coverage. But then I found myself last night when track and field came on and they got these heats, these different heats for different events. And they're talking about the one from Great Britain, or they're talking about the lady from Jamaica. I'm like, where's the Americans?
Right. No, I know.
And then they
show
the field and they're like, there's no Americans in this heat. Why am I watching this?
But that's why we love the Olympics, because otherwise you would watch swimming in December.
Right.
But we don't. Nobody cares. It's all about the patriotism.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. But Michelle, back to Michelle Carter, her celebration was insane. She's got the flag. I mean, just her dad means so much to her. It was great. It was America.
Yeah.
It was America. All right. I think we've covered most of the Olympics.
Yes. Yes.
This morning we do have a
lot of football to get to.
Yes. And we will do that next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports. We're in ESPN studios on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. Get your swagger on at Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop. Open 7 days a week, Prince Cuts Barbershop is Lexington's most upscale barbershop, and the men there give you the style you deserve. Prince Cuts has something for everyone, and you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com. Prince Cuts is not your ordinary barbershop, it's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts. Call 299-CUTS. You will get a style fit for Prince.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining rides since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years' experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4444. Or get a quote and download coupons at LuckysAutosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is a whole wink, wink, hush, hush.
Check to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, E6, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay? We're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Botany Bay. 420! East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
Treat your clothes like royalty by treating them to Emperor's Cleaners. With over 40 years of experience, Emperor's Cleaners has everything your clothes need. Fine clothiers even recommended Emperor's for brands like St. John's Knits. They specialize in same-day service. Bring in your shirts by 9 a.m., they'll be done the same day. Emperor's Cleaners is a family-run business, ensuring top-quality service. Located on Richmond Road in the Idle Hour Plaza, Emperor's Cleaners will treat you and your clothes like royalty.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Right on, Josh. Some Rage Against the Machine. All right. We were talking Olympics. We'll get back to the Olympics because there's some more to talk about there. But we got to get into a few things that happened, like Alex Poythress gets a partially guaranteed deal contract with the Indiana Pacers. So he's going to go to training camp. He'll likely play on the Fort Wayne, Indiana NBDL team, so he'll likely be in the developmental league for the first year, but he's got a contract. He's going to get money to play basketball and be affiliated with the Pacers, so, you know, at some point during the season, he could probably get a call-up, you know?
Yeah. Happy for him.
And football-wise, Charles Walker got a scholarship.
If you have not seen the video,
you should watch it.
Mark Stoops tweeted out, and he said, never been more excited or something like that. So he was a former walk-on, granted a scholarship.
Well, and they talked about him this week as someone who's always shows up, always makes plays, and he always catches the ball, always has a positive attitude, all those things. And so he earns a scholarship. That's pretty cool.
But there was some devastating news, I think, out of the first week of camp. And that happened, you know, away on Monday.
Yeah.
With Reggie Mint not being here, probably for the whole season, is what it sounds, you know, sounds like.
Yeah.
And the defensive line was already kind of suspect.
Yeah. Unproven.
And then you lose a guy like Reggie Mint. And the coaches are, you know, saying the right things, and there's, you know, they're making some shifts, and some of the younger guys are stepping up and all that stuff. But even with Reggie there, I wasn't sure how the defensive line looked.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, he was someone on Saturday when I went to fan day, open practice, and walked around with the defensive line group for a little bit. He was the guy that you heard, the vocal leader, the one that was...
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, lock in and encouraging and one of the first guys on the line. So, yeah, big-time leader. And so Stoops said Jacob Hyde is one of those good vocal leaders in that group that can step up.
I mean, I certainly don't want to speculate, but that was Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday, he's just gone?
Right. There was no sign at all of anything being wrong on Saturday. There just wasn't. So something happened suddenly. There's no doubt about it. Something.
Because it wasn't like he'll be gone for a couple weeks in camp. It wasn't. I mean, it was. It's they're not expecting him back.
Yeah. When Stoops was asked, so is he going to be gone the whole season? Or he's like, I don't know. And he said, I don't anticipate that. When he said, I don't anticipate that, I think he was responding to, do you expect him back?
Yeah.
Like, I don't anticipate that.
It's, I mean, they're things, certainly moving forward as if he's not going to be back.
Yeah. And he's made it clear that he didn't want to talk about it. So don't press him on it. And don't press his players on it either. I mean, there has been some stuff. You've got Boom Williams lost his sister.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to talk about that. Saheem King missed some practice. He was back this week, but not talking about that. And then Reggie Mint, personal issue, not talking about that. I mean, to speculate on it, you would think family. That's just when those things happen.
Yes.
Just that tends to be family related. So... You know, he had a tough upbringing. You know, he was born in Boston to Haitian immigrants, and then his parents, I guess, sent him to Haiti. He lived in Haiti till I think he was five, and then he came to Florida to live with his mother around five and started going to school there in Florida. But somewhere in high school, his brother got deported back to Haiti, and then... He wanted to come to Kentucky early, like enroll in the, I guess, the spring or something, because he graduated early. He worked hard at it, and they didn't have a place for him. And so then he worked and didn't work to, you know, help himself out, worked to pay bills for his family, for his mother. Mm-hmm. So when you have that kind of tight bond with your mother... You know.
Yeah, and again, we don't know, but...
No, you don't know.
But that's, you know...
It just happened so sudden, where on Saturday everything was fine, and then by Monday, don't know when he's coming back. So, What you can say on the positive for the defensive line without Reggie Mint is that this week has been had multiple occasions of players and coaches praising the freshman defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Adrian Middleton is one of the guys they're going to count on that, and mentioned that who has to step up. He mentioned Jaquizz Cross by name, but when I asked him about it, he said, Cordell Cross has been, and I said, wait a minute, there's Cordell Looney and Jaquizz Cross. Which one are you talking about? Cross. I'm talking about Cross. Like the one with the blonde beard? Yeah, that's him. That's him.
But Looney's been getting some praise, too.
So he singled him out, Jaquizz Cross, and then Drew Barker singled out T.J. Carter yesterday as someone he's seen do well. And then Stoops and Elliott have both said that the freshman defensive linemen have looked good. So they'll play. They'll all play.
Well, and they'll probably have to.
Yeah, they're already all the size of guys you'd want on the defensive line in the SEC.
Also been a lot of praise for some of the young receivers, like Taven Richardson and Jabari Greenwood. Lamar Thomas really likes what they've done. And I did think it was funny. Did you see Jen Smith from the Herald Leader had a story on what Lamar Thomas is allowing or not allowing in the meeting rooms?
Yeah.
Grapes only.
Why grapes?
I guess they don't make a lot of noise maybe when you chew them. I don't know. But no.
Seedless, no, I would say.
No smoothies. No, like they. Yeah, someone had to throw away his smoothie.
Right.
No food, no drinks. You can only bring grapes into the meeting room as a way of discipline and
eliminating distractions.
Eliminating distractions. So but grapes can get away from you, you know? They're squirrely things.
Yeah. If you drop one and step on it, forget it in the carpet. I mean, it's just in there. I don't know what the grape thing is about.
I don't know how we came up with the grapes.
I don't either.
But
yeah, it is a little mind game for camp, though, obviously. Yeah, he mentioned, Lamar did, that Jabari Greenwood and Taven Richardson will fight for starting time.
Yeah, not just playing time.
And then, you know, Ryan Timmons has said that everything is behind him. This, you know, he's going to have a great senior year. He's just going to do it. Dorian Baker has said, I'm more mature. I've grown up. You know, I'm taking everything more seriously now as well. And then you see him throwing the ball with Drew Barker after practice is over. Saw that this week as well. And then Garrett Juice Johnson is what he is. I mean, there was no knocks on him, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he gives it his all.
We just stopped going to him last year, I felt like. They just stopped going to
him. They maybe wanted to keep him from, you know, leaving football due to concussions because he was getting killed going across the middle making those tough catches. And, you know, Jeff Badette is Jeff Badette. He's that speed burner. So they've got good guys there, and it sounds like they'll be better. Sounds like the drops or something.
And it sounds like even the accuracy is getting better because from what Darren Henshaw said at the beginning of camp, or beginning of the summer at least, the long ball was really getting away from all the quarterbacks, not just Drew, you know, Drew Barker, but everybody. And that has started to come around.
We'll talk about that in depth a little bit more next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Car wreck, Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model, to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Hybrid Springs Home Water Service is for the families that never compromise on quality for their loved ones. Show your family how much they're loved by choosing Hybrid Springs Water. Cool, crisp, and always fresh. That's the taste of Hybrid. Family owned and operated, delivering unmatched service right to your front door. Visit our website or call us toll free for delivery to your home at 888-547-6971 and ask for Kim. She'll take real good care of you. Highbridge Springs puts the back in refreshment.
Whether you need to buy, sell, or repair your device,
you need to visit the Pit Stop.
No brainer. Hit the Pit Stop.
You gotta go to the Pit Stop for sure.
If you need a laptop, get one now for half the price of Device Pit Stop. Flash sale on all Windows laptops, 50% off. Going on now while they last. So come in today and see the great selection of Windows laptops for 50% off. At these prices, you can upgrade or get a second one. Windows laptops, half price. That's the Device Pit Stop in the Sandale Shopping Center.
You need to visit the Pit Stop.
Gotta go to the Pit Stop for sure.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So after the first week of football camp over there at the new training facility on Kentucky's campus, the word out of camp is Drew Barker is amazing. Kind of. They don't say it like that, but if you put it all together, it sounds very promising, everything that's being said about him. Started out with Eddie Gran on Tuesday saying that Barker is hitting 68 to 70% of his targets.
Yes.
So he's being accurate. Then yesterday, Darren Henshaw said that Barker is dialed in when it comes to short and intermediate routes. I mean, that's an accuracy issue right there.
You've got it. Is. And
completing those is
Patrick
big.
Patrick Toles couldn't do that last year.
Right. And then, as you mentioned before the break, that the deep ball was something that was being overthrown, just chucking it up there and letting the receiver go get it. And Henshaw said, That's not what I think of when I think of deep ball, that you just throw it up there, the receiver runs under it and goes into the end zone. A deep ball is an explosive play down the field. You throw it up in an area to let the receiver make a play on the ball, and our receivers are starting to get used to that because the balls are going in that area. So they're getting better at the deep ball, and Drew Barker said that's something they focused on and worked on. And then Barker was also asked about how much command does he have of the offense? Because, you know, they put it in the spring, they worked on it in the summer, and then Eddie Gran said that they put in some more stuff this week, and Barker said, head is not swimming at all. I've got it. I know where guys need to be lined up. Eddie Gran said Barker is telling people where to go, what to do. He's got command of the offense. Not where they want it to be yet, necessarily, but accuracy, leadership, command of the offense. It all sounds great right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Henshaw was pretty hard on Drew yesterday by saying, I told him your brand stinks. What everybody knows about you right now when they say the name Drew Barker is not good in the classroom, not good in the equipment room, all the way down to the equipment room, he said. That's got to change. You got... only way you can change this is by your actions. And he's done it. Done it in the classroom. Done it, you know, with his teammates. Did it by organizing what he called mini practices during the summer to get the other guys out there. So he's transformed. So by the end of camp, the expectations on Drew Barker will be enormous because a lot of good stuff is being said about him right now.
And that's another thing that makes me so nervous about that first game. And CBS earlier this week ranked all the college football teams. They've got Southern Miss 40 spots higher in their rankings than Kentucky.
I noticed that. Crazy.
Southern Miss projected to win their conference. It's there's going to be all this lumped on Drew Barker. And then that opening game just isn't, like, it has to all be together. It has to be put together for them to win that game.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah. There's not as many questions, I feel like, for Southern Miss. Like, their quarterback is, I don't know, preseason player of the year or something. They're picked to win their conference. I mean, they have so many questions that have already been answered that...
CBS has them ranked as the 34th best team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just out of the top 25, you know?
Yeah.
And they got Kentucky as 74.
That's because Kentucky just has a lot of question marks, no doubt about it.
I mean, I wouldn't put them any higher than that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying their opponent
and Drew
has
Barker
plenty of high expectations, and you know Southern Miss is 100% thinking,
oh, yeah.
Obviously, we're going to beat Kentucky.
Yeah. We're going to go in there and ruin this thing. Yeah. Now, you heard JoJo Kemp talk yesterday. He's like, I mean, he is on it. He is fully believing that this is not only going to beat Southern Miss, but they're going to do a little more than that. He's loving what Eddie Grant's doing, and that the details, everything's in the details. Get down the details lead to the big things, and that's kind of the focus. So they've responded extremely well to Eddie Grant, and Barker's responded extremely well to Darren Henshaw. I mean, talent alone, Kentucky should be the more talented team. But they haven't proven it under the lights. And Eddie Grant said there's a lot of expectations on this offense. They anticipate moving the ball on people, moving it right down the field. So it'll be an interesting game.
It will be.
Yeah.
I mean, after they took Louisville away from being the opener, this is one of the more anticipated ones, just because I mean, it's a good opponent.
Yeah.
UAB.
It's a good opponent, and it's at a critical time.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot get off on the wrong foot here.
No.
But as I said earlier on this show, for weeks now, I know going into camp that they're going to convince me by the end of camp that they're,
Sounds like JoJo Kemp had you.
And well, JoJo Kemp is convinced. I'm convinced that he's convinced. There's no doubt about that. But they've got talent. I just see that there's some talent there. Like you look at Drew Barker mentioned, he was asked, who are the young guys who are impressing? Been impressed by. He mentioned Benny Snell, running back, and A.J. Rose, both freshmen. He said A.J. Rose is one of the fastest guys on the team. But those two are behind JoJo and Mikkel and Boom and Saheem.
Yeah.
I mean, Saheem King is super fast. Then you have Landon Young. He mentions Landon Young and Drake Jackson by name. And T.J. Carter were the guys that he brought up by name as young guys who are impressing. So I think the one real positive Kentucky has going for it is those freshmen that we mentioned. Of those, Snell and Rose, they won't play key roles. They won't be dependent upon to play key roles. Landon Young and Drake Jackson probably won't be dependent upon for key roles. Now, they might play, but they're not going to be dependent upon to start. To be the guy at those positions. And then T.J. Carter, he may be. That defensive line group may be, I would say most likely, will be asked to do more than any other freshman group or anything. So, that's it. Linebackers, you're not asking true freshmen. Cash Daniel, maybe. Cornerbacks, you're not asking true freshmen. I mean, Jordan Griffin's a great talent over there. He's not going to be asked to be Chris Westry, which was what he was, and Derek Beatty. They were both true freshmen last year. Safety, it's not that way. offensive line's not that way, running back, receiver. None of these, they're all at least redshirt freshmen or sophomores, guys
who
play.
Eli Brown's a redshirt freshman, right?
Yeah. So these guys have at least had time to adjust. It's not, their head isn't going to be spinning, I guess. So that is the biggest positive,
yeah.
I think.
And then there's some depth when they're talking about the freshmen being good that don't have to play key roles.
Right.
It means you might have some depth there, which is certainly something that's been lacking for a while.
And I think the offensive line depth is going to be big. Nick Haynes, I saw Freddie Maggard's interview with Nick Haynes, the starting guard. He mentioned how much pass protection is emphasized, like how much they work on that, how important it is, and what they do to make sure that they're focusing on that. So that's a good thing to hear, pass protection, because that's big thing for Kentucky, because they just get sacked every year.
Yeah,
last few years it's been a horrible. I mean, defenders of Patrick Toles would say, "Well, what do you want him to do when he's got 2 seconds before he's destroyed?" That was a valid defense of Patrick Toles. Maybe it led to the way he wound up playing here, you know?
Who is, by the way, dedicating his season to Harambe.
I'm not sure I understand the Bengals wanting to, people wanting the Bengals to change their name to, could you imagine if they were called the Harambes all season?
No.
Come on. A big gorilla on their helmet. That would be the laughing stock of the NFL.
They're not.
They've been in the playoffs,
they're not,
Josh.
The laughing stock anymore.
This is not 1995.
Through 2005.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. Although they did get beat last night by the Vikings. Eddie Bridgewater had that long ball working for a little bit last night. I saw a nice little touchdown pass. Teddy Two Gloves.
Yeah.
I want to see him in Nashville.
Oh, Titans game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was excited the other night because it was Thursday night. There was preseason football on. Wanted to watch the Olympics. So they had, I guess, the Saints and the Patriots were live on NFL Network. And then the NFL Network, at one time or another, airs every single preseason game out there. It's just not live. So I'm on Twitter, and I know the Bears and the Broncos are playing at Soldier Field. And I see that at 11 o'clock on NFL Network, they're going to show it. So I'm like, ooh, all right. I gotta stay up for this, yeah. You know? I got to be able to watch this. I happen to scroll through Twitter as I'm watching the Olympics, and it's the worst the Bears have ever played in the preseason ever. It's just one bad play after another. I think it was 20-0 at halftime. And then I see a tweet from the Bears. Okay, Brian Hoyer's coming in. Here we go, second half. Or not Brian Hoyer, the rookie quarterback, whatever. And safety. Linebacker sack of the new quarterback in the end zone. And the Bears' Twitter account comes back and goes, that's not what we meant by here we go. But I wanted to see Danny Trevathan. And
maybe I won't stay up till 2 in the morning.
No. I didn't even flip it over there. I didn't even try.
Pretty cool, though, the Ravens preseason game, because Michael Phelps is from Baltimore.
Yes.
The teams just stopped.
Yeah.
And watched his race Thursday night.
That was cool.
That was a pretty cool thing.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here and talk Olympics or UK football or something else. Here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We got
Santa Margarita by the Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Nest Center for Women, Children, and Families gives children a chance. Victims a choice, and families a future. Join us this year on Saturday, August 27th, for our annual fundraiser, A Night for the Nest. To benefit this long-standing nonprofit community organization, A Night for the Nest is an elegant celebration at the beautiful Normandy Farm. From 6 to 11 p.m., enjoy music by Mercy Men Band and Raleigh Daly and Danny Cecil Duo. dinner by Chef Renata at Creative Table Kitchen and Catering, and locally created cocktails. Participate in a silent auction and put your name in for an exciting raffle to win a trip to Florida with airfare and accommodations provided. It's a night for the nest, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, August 27th, from 6 to 11 p.m. at Normandy Farm. Your support will help provide a safe place for education, counseling, and support to women, children, and their families in crisis. For tickets, call 859-259-1974 or visit nestlexington.org.
The following is an advertisement.
When I was a young boy, I worked for a big company, and those were some of the greatest days in my life. That company taught me so much about business. Put the client first. Work harder than your competition. Surround yourself with great people. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Today, we've been in business for almost 30 years. It's funny how life lessons taught so many years ago guide us today. We have represented hundreds of thousands of people and recovered billions of dollars in settlements and verdicts. But the greatest honor is when former clients later refer friends and families to us at their time of need. The man who ran that big company had everyone just call him Walt. I loved that and vowed that nobody would ever call me Mister. So call me if you need me, but just call me John. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns to make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Just let it,
yeah,
just let it wash over you.
Marinate on that a little bit. All right, we better jump in here before he cusses. Well, this trending topic, Mary Jo, I didn't put it up on Twitter because I guess I didn't feel I had enough time to try to think about it and put it down on Twitter. But
a lot of people were doing it this week.
Last seven or first seven?
First seven jobs.
Hashtag first seven jobs. Do you remember your first job?
I definitely know my first job.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Movie theater.
Yes, yeah.
I knew it.
Movie theater is like my first four jobs. Yeah. I started working at the movie theater when I was 13.
Wow.
Because there's in Minnesota, you can get away with
child labor.
If you are the parent or the daughter or whatever,
yeah.
the child of the owner.
So you can abuse your own child.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I started working there. Early. And that was the only job I ever had through high school.
Yeah. Well, I'd say so. Yeah. When you got that steady work like that.
Yeah.
So that had to be tough, though, too, because, like, let's say if I wanted some money from my parents, you do chores. You know, make sure you pull your weight around the house and you ask for the money. You get the money. So if you ask for money, like, well, come on down and work it off at the movie theater. How many shifts you want to work this weekend?
I know. And we always got, I say we, because after a while, then my younger sister started working there too.
Mm-hmm.
We always got like the Christmas shifts and the Thanksgiving shifts.
Oh, yeah.
So that, other people, the other people would be off, which was fine. I mean, working at a movie theater is not,
right.
It's not manual labor.
Yes.
I do remember, like, I got in some pretty significant trouble with my dad because we had movie passes, like free passes
mm-hmm.
that you could,
Give to friends?
Well, he gave away on the radio stations right. or stuff like that, right? But if you used them, came to the theater to use them, then you were supposed to mark on them, you know, used whatever date. And so when I was taking tickets, doing tickets, I would just not write on those, and I would take those movie passes. And then afterwards, I would go to Godfather's Pizza, and they would give me free pizza with those movie passes. Or I'd go to Subway, and they'd give me free movie passes. And then my dad found out about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't great. And
no.
Then there was one other time. It was Halloween. I was 15. And so they said we could dress up in Halloween costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like any normal teenager, left the house in one thing, got there and changed into another.
Oh.
I was,
oh.
Right, I was a French maid.
Every father's dream for his daughter.
My dad comes in the theater and goes, we're selling candy here, and that's it. We ain't selling anything else.
Boy.
Then when I went to college, my first job in college was that I worked.
French maid? No, I'm joking.
Worked at a movie theater in college.
Oh, so you just carried it right. You had the experience and the resume.
Right. They couldn't turn me. I was like, right. I have 7 years experience. I demand $4.75 an hour.
So then after that, what?
So when you get out of college, you don't really necessarily get a TV job right away. So I worked part-time at an insurance agency, just like filing the bills when people paid them and stuff like that. Just basically some clerical work, and then got my first job, TV job in Terre Haute, Indiana. And
so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Terre Haute's 4, right?
Yep. Then Channel 18 would be 5. And then I worked at CNN.
CNN is 6.
And back at 18.
7. And your current job is 8,
yeah.
Right?
Well, and I also worked at Georgetown College for a while.
Oh, okay.
While I was at Channel 18.
Yeah.
That's 9. Yeah. And then 10 and 11, because this is a job, too. Your first job was at the radio station, is that right?
Yeah, I don't remember anything else. I do not remember doing anything else. It was, I guess I was 16, 15, 16. No, I had to be 16 to drive, so I drove there. Yeah, DJ on a radio station, AM radio station, 710 AM WEKC in Williamsburg. It was on Crowley Bend Road back then, which is out in the Crowley Bend Road. I mean,
right. You know where that is. Right. It's not running through the middle of town.
Yeah. So it's, out there in the middle of nowhere, just a little building. Got some wild stories from those days. My gosh.
How far was the signal? I mean, did it go past Williamsburg?
Yeah, it had to go. It went into the Hollers a little bit, you know. I'm not sure if it got past Corbin. Probably didn't get to London. Probably did get down to Jellicoe.
There you go.
But this was when Garth Brooks came out. This would have been like when Garth Brooks was introduced to country music. And that whole wave of like Alan Jackson, Clint Black, this Toby Keith.
Yeah.
All those. Where it really became pop music.
Yeah. Brooks and Dunn.
Yes, Brooks and Dunn for sure. And I would come in on Friday, and we played 45s. So there's like a whole wall of 45s, a shelf of just full of all these 45s. And I would come in early, like an hour early on Friday before my shift started, and go through the entire deal, pulling out hillbilly rockabilly, like upbeat, Hank Jr., Dwight Yoakam, or old classics, just no slow stuff, no Reba. And so my boss would call. All I hear is that rockabilly stuff. Play some of the hits. I haven't heard a Lori Morgan song yet. I just didn't care. Right on through. I'll give you the next six jobs or whatever when we come back here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Be the native tongue.
All right, guys, we'll play the game the right way.
Where else does this sound mean everything? Where else can you just play? Where else but Williamsport? The Little League World Series, August 18th through the 28th on the networks of ESPN, presented by Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
Hey, baseball fans, I'm Buster Olney. And on the latest Baseball Tonight podcast, the Alex Rodriguez drama has perhaps the final chapter with the Yankees, but the real New York drama might be on the other side of town. Just touch the Listen tab on the ESPN app.
Tonight, football is officially back in L.A. Behind number one overall draft pick Jared Goff and budding superstar Todd Gurley. A new era dawns for the Rams with a visit from Tony Romo and the boys, who are finally healthy again and hoping for a bounce-back year in Big D. Don't miss a preseason duel between the Cowboys and Rams tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN.
Hey, it's Levitar. Join us Monday for what might be the worst show we've ever done. Might be. I don't want to overpromise. Guest co-host Izzy Gutierrez will join us. That's on the Dan Levitar Show with Stu Gatz on ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt, Katie Ledecky, and Simone Biles. Do these Olympians deserve a spot among the best athletes of all time? The guys discuss Monday on Mike and Mike, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Summer's premier event is almost here, the U.S. Open Tennis Championships. And this year, we're going all out in more ways than ever. The champions will be invincible. The food and wine, indulgent. The atmosphere, inclusive. And you don't want to miss the debut of our stunning retractable roof. So, you in? The U.S. Open, August 29th through September 11th. Nothing beats being here. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at usopen.org.
A 16-episode podcast, Pin Kings. It's the story of two All-American high school wrestlers, teammates, and friends who ultimately ended up on the opposite sides of the war on drugs.
I just couldn't stand the thought of this failure that had occurred in my life. And I didn't think I had an answer. I took the gun and I put it to my head. And I had to make a decision whether I was going to pull that trigger or not.
Subscribe to Pin Kings now on the ESPN app or download it on Apple Podcasts.
ESPN.
Just shut your mouth and listen.
Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Jim Baskwell. It's the final day of swimming at the Rio Olympics and will likely give us our last look at all-time record medalist Michael Phelps in Olympic competition. He is expected to swim in the men's 4x100-meter medley relay final. He's won five medals thus far in Rio, 27 overall in his career, and seeks his 23rd gold. Track and field takes center stage today, including the men's 100-meter prelims featuring Usain Bolt and Justin Gatlin. The LA Rams host the Dallas Cowboys tonight in the NFL's first game in Los Angeles since 1994. The game could draw close to the capacity of 91,000 at LA Memorial Coliseum, and you can watch it on ESPN at 8 Eastern. With a 14-game lead, the Chicago Cubs are running away with the NL Central. They go for their 12th straight win this afternoon against the St. Louis Cardinals, sending Kyle Hendricks and a stellar 2.17 ERA to the mound against Luke Weaver, who makes his major league debut after watching the Cubs bang out five home runs in Friday's 13-2 romp. You can hear it on ESPN Radio with coverage at 1:45 Eastern. Meantime, Jerry Krasnick is reporting Jonathan Papelbon has requested his release from the Washington Nationals. He carries a career-worst 4.37 ERA this season and has lost his role as closer for the Nats. In case you missed it, Alex Rodriguez bid farewell to the New York Yankees on Friday. After 11-plus seasons, he had a run-scoring double and a 6-3 win over the Rays, also played third base in the ninth inning and left to a big applause from the sellout crowd.
Chris Bryant and the Cubs have a commanding lead in the NL Central, while Yadier Molina and the Cardinals are vying for a wild card spot. Cubs-Cardinals, today at 1:45 Eastern and tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I have often wondered why people would hire law firms many miles from their homes, sometimes well over 100. This is why we have fully staffed offices throughout Kentucky and conveniently located for you. And I mean real offices, not a post office box. You can drive over anytime. When you want to meet with your lawyer, we're close by. And if you've been injured and are unable to come to us, we'll come to you 7 days a week. Also, if you ever have questions about your case, visit forthepeople.com 24 hours a day. And you can always call our office, even at 3 in the morning. Try it. Being connected to you is our goal number one. For over 25 years, we've been here when you needed us most. It has been our honor to represent you and your family. Call or visit us anytime. We're here for you. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
So Mary Joe and I started in on first seven jobs.
Hashtag first seven jobs. We've got through one of yours, Dan, which seemed pretty harmless, other than getting, you know, a slap on the wrist occasionally for playing too much rockabilly and not enough Reba while you were DJing.
Let's review yours so that everybody that maybe have missed it. Your first seven were?
Movie theater in Minnesota, movie theater in Missouri, insurance, clerical work, Terre Haute, Indiana, TV, LEX-18, CNN, back to LEX-18. I think that's the first seven. Georgetown College.
Okay. So, yeah, I started DJing at a AM radio station in Williamsburg, Kentucky. It's where I got my education. And then, gosh, it's sketchy because there were so many. Like, I didn't just go to one and stick. So I worked full-time all throughout college, had a full-time job.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Mostly full-time. I mean, I always was working, had a job. So I moved to Richmond and was going to EKU. And me and another friend did Electrolux vacuum cleaner sales door-to-door.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What was this, 1957?
This is 94? When did You would get into a van with a group of other salesmen, and you would drive to a suburb.
Do you use that term loosely for this job, or? Now you are a salesman, man.
Yeah, you were. That's the salesman of all salesmen right there, door to door. I mean, it doesn't get... So vacuum cleaners, Electrolux vacuum cleaners that cost something crazy like $800, $900. Yeah. So you're trying to convince someone to spend this much money on a vacuum cleaner. And so the training was that if you could get to the bedroom, you're gold. That was the training. Because if you could show what lives on the pillow and the sheets by vacuuming it up and then showing what's there, they would be so disgusted that they would have to have your product. And then you could set up like a payment plan so you didn't have to have the $800 right away or whatever. So you'd hop in a van and you would go to suburbs. And I guess they had already hit like Richmond and Lexington and all that. So we went to like Corbin and got let loose in a subdivision in Corbin.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the guy I worked with at the radio station in Williamsburg, his name's Shelby Pruitt. But he sounded kind of like Howard Cosell on the radio. This is Shelby Prewitt on 710 AM. All right? So that was him. And he was a star. Now, he was a stud. And so he had a nice house in this, I think, Tattersall subdivision in Corbin. That's where they drop us off. And I happened to hit his house. I'm like, holy cow, what a coincidence. We're here. And I've got a vacuum to sell you. And my last job was with you in Williamsburg. And so I guess I talked to his wife for a while, and then he came home. All right, well, then he comes in and is like, yeah, I'm not buying a vacuum. I've got a central unit throughout the house. You just plug into each room wherever you go. And that goes, I'm not buying a vacuum. Sit down, have a drink. Yeah. So then the supervisor in the van, who's like the closer, you know, you drop everybody off, and then he circles back around to see the progress at each place. And when somebody gets into a house, he comes in to close the deal. And
you got Alec Baldwin out in the
He comes van. In, we're kicked back having a drink. He's like, oh, this is going pretty well here. You know, what model would you like? And, oh, I'm not buying a vacuum. Would you like a drink? 2 weeks I lasted there.
I have to know, did you sell a vacuum in the
Oh no. Yeah. No. I don't know. I did sell one and then the financing didn't go through. Like they have a credit check, you know? I sold one vacuum. That's what kept me to the second week. Because when I sold one in the first week, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
If I got a percentage of profit, I'm off to a great start. One vacuum this week. Two next week. Next thing you know, I've worked myself up to manager. No, but I had a little bit of hope. And so then the next week they said, yeah, sorry, the credit financing didn't go through on that vacuum. So, no. All right, see you. I'm out. So then the next job was also like maybe 4 weeks or something. I can't remember. But, okay, so my buddy told me about the Electrolux thing. He's like, hey, come sell. I made some money. He didn't last long either. But that was it. So another buddy of mine goes, restaurant, I'm telling you, making, you know, server, making tips, you got cash in your hand, that's the way to go. I was like, oh yeah, where do you work? Jerry's Restaurant on the 8th and Spoonsboro exit. Jerry's Restaurant, like kind of like the Shoney's, you mean like Jerry's? Oh yeah, make a killing over there, do well. All right, so Jerry's Restaurant it is. All right, yeah,
home of the champ.
I go to Jerry's. Got to start at the bottom, work your way up. Can't just come in and get primetime dinner, you know, shift. No. Overnight shift at Jerry's because it's a 24-hour restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So you're in at like, I don't know, midnight or 11. And then you're there till like 7 a.m. So the morning, you know, the older crowd in the morning, the crotchety crowd, that's at the end of your shift. The ones that are telling you you're too slow, I should have had 3 cups of coffee by now. They're telling you that in hour number 8 of your day at Jerry's.
Right. And they're the ones not tipping you anyway.
Right. So the only thing that kept me there for longer than like 2 days, Pure Gold, which is now called, I don't know, Spearmint Rhino or something. Yes. Right up the road, like 2 blocks, is open all night. Or till whatever, 3 a.m. or whatever. And the only all-night place to eat right there is Jerry's. What do girls who work there work off of? What do they live off of?
Tips.
Tips. Who knows better what a tip is worth to someone doing a job than the girls working on tips at the establishment up the road? And they're hungry. So at 2 or 3 a.m, tons of these girls come in. They're all hungry. They're all getting something to go. And they're still tipping $4, $5, $10. So I made all my money from the girls up the road. But working overnight and trying to go to school.
I don't know.
Uh-uh.
Did all that money go back to Pure Gold? Because when you said the only thing that kept me was a Pure Gold was next door. I'm thinking, oh, so you just went there.
No.
After you got a No.
Yeah, I went and had the breakfast buffet at Beer Garden.
Well, now you know how they kept all their wonderful figures.
No, they didn't give me.
They just went to Jerry at 4 in the morning.
They had another type of appetite suppressant, I believe. Yeah.
No, we've only gotten through 3 of Dan's jobs.
So they didn't give me all their money. No, but here was the thing, is I'd be home at 8 a.m., let's say, had nothing to do that day or something. I get back with my roommates. They're just getting up, and I'm having like an after-work beer at 8:30 in the morning. All right, so, well, of course, that didn't last too long either.
Right.
The next one is another friend of mine told me he was making a killing at Radio Shack. Now, I forgot to mention this. My second job was, when I was at the radio station in Williamsburg, the guy who owned the place sold out to another place. They brought in a guy that I absolutely hated. He hated me. I hated him. He tried to run me off. He was the worst. He is one of two worst bosses I've ever had. Two people that were absolutely horrible. This guy's number one. Number one. Just the worst. You just wanted to kill him every day, you know? You just wanted to put your hands around his throat and just be like, oh, shut up! Everybody's had a boss like that that they're just, you know, can't stand. So that ran me off, and the guy who owned the radio station before, who sold out, owned the Radio Shack in the mall.
Because he wanted to stay in radio.
Williamsburg's mall. Well, the radio station had moved to the mall in this time. So at one end of the mall is the radio station. Over here is Radio Shack. And so I just went from that place to the other place in the mall and worked at Radio Shack before I left Williamsburg. So that was part of it, too, to go to Radio Shack later on. I get there, and it's some horrible, I don't know, $8 an hour or something like that, maybe $7. And then the deal was, you either made that or you made commission, whichever was higher. You had to wear somewhat of a uniform, which was a white button-up shirt, black pants, black shoes, and you could not sit down. It was a rule. You were not allowed to sit down during your shift, 8-hour day. And there's no, like, real training of, like, somebody comes in is asking you about a wireless phone. Back when wireless phones were the thing.
Right.
You just look at the box and try to read it. And well, it looks like this phone has a redial button. Good connectivity. I mean, it says here the wattage is just, I mean, top of the line here. It's definitely the most expensive. I don't know what you want me to do. So I couldn't last long there either. Was making no money there. And luckily, I ran across a radio station in Richmond there that had a radio station in Richmond and one in Berea. And so I would do behind the scenes what Josh is doing here. I would do that for EKU football games. And I would, oh my gosh, this thing. Ugh. EKU's football stadium, it doesn't have an elevator to the top to the press box. You walk it up ramps. And then when you get to the top of the stadium of the ramps, then there's stairs that go straight up. And then there's like another area of stairs that go up. So that's, you're at the top. It's a hike. Had two trips to make to set up the equipment for the broadcast. Couldn't make it all in one trip. Talking about carrying a suitcase that had like rotten wheels on it. Not the good suitcases now that you have. No. Just old school stuff. I'd set
was
up.
Was Greg Stottlemyre calling the games?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure was. It was my first introduction to Greg Stottlemyre, who I like a little bit better today than I did back then. Yeah. Just tell you that. So I would have to go, I don't know, so many hours early. I mean, that stuff would have to be set up an hour before kickoff.
Yeah.
And then to get it set up. So I'd set all that stuff up myself and then go back to the studio and wait for them to come in to see if it worked. And if it didn't work,
you'd have to go back.
Mr. Stottlemyre was not a happy camper. Yeah. So anyway, did that for a while for basketball and football. And then on the station in Berea, I was play-by-play Friday nights for Berea football and Madison Southern football, depending on whatever the game of the week was. So it was just me soloing it.
Oh, wow.
First time ever doing play-by-play. And so the owner of the station would call and go, just, you know, the numbers aren't as important as the names of the players. Because I'd call out the numbers because that's what, I mean, I have no idea. I don't know, 19 years old at this point, something like that. So what are we, DJ, Electrolux, Jerry's Restaurant, Radio Shack. Okay, the radio station, another radio station. That's five. I can't finish it before we got to go to break. I mean, we're already past break. I'm telling you, because the next ones are a couple of...
Your first seven jobs are awesome.
We'll finish it up after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
I mean, I've listened to sports radio for, I don't know, 25 years now, and I've never heard this topic. How do we fix golf? That's a place sports radio has never been taken before. I mean, golf is just fine as it is. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But when I heard them, I immediately had to turn this down.
Dan Levitard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. At Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop, it's now better than ever. They've updated, renovated, and expanded to better suit clientele. Five flat screens and now eight new booths. Prince Cuts Barbershop, the most talented barbers in the city, will give you the style you deserve. At Prince Cuts, you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com or give them a call at 299-CUT. Prince Cuts, not your ordinary barbershop. It's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts Barbershop, where you will get a style fit for Prince.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you, and the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem, we can fix that.
Say goodbye to dealer prices. Fleet Doc is authorized to perform routine scheduled maintenance required to protect your vehicle warranty at an affordable price. They'll even shuttle you back and forth to work or stay and enjoy the clean, handicap-friendly facilities and free Wi-Fi.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bimba, bimba!
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, this is steak nirvana. Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
If the microphones were open when we're off the air.
Then we will officially be off the air.
We still have some UK football to get to. We will do that.
But I think we have two jobs left.
We do. We got two jobs left. We're doing the first seven jobs. We went through Mary Jo's, which was movie theater,
insurance,
TV.
TV.
Georgetown College, yeah. And then mine were DJ at a radio station, door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman, server at Jerry's Restaurant on the overnight shift, Radio Shack associate. And then I went into play-by-play and producer on the radio, board op, basically, on the radio, but to call it producer. Well, this
so
thing...
None of these so far have been physically taxing jobs.
No. But when I left EKU and Richmond and transferred to UK and finished up there. And so when I left, right, the only way I could justify like driving down to Richmond and Berea to work for this radio station was if this guy paid me a little bit more to afford the gas. There's going to be a little bit of a pain to do this. And so he had a deal with the college co-op. And I forget, back then, minimum wage was like
I don't think it was seven.
It was 5 1/4. I remember this specifically because the co-op program with the college, this guy would always hire co-op kids because the college would pay half the salary. So out of pocket for him, it's like $250 an hour, where the college is reimbursing for the other $250. So I said to him, hey, look, this deal you got going with them, just get me up to where you're only paying like $4 an hour. And I can justify moving down there, doing the job. And it was as simple as this. I don't think I can do that. End of conversation, end of job, that's it. It's over. So now I didn't have anything. I was going to Lexington. And I have just been one of those where I've got bills. I've got a place to live. So yeah. I do whatever I got to do and get whatever job I've got to get. And if I don't like that job, I just work it until I can find the next one. That's just the way it was to pay your bills and be able to live on your own, you know? So, that particular summer when I moved from Richmond to Lexington, I had a friend who worked at Furrow Lumberyard on Versailles Road, which is now, whatever, the city has some, Urban County Government uses it for something. You talk about a tough job. In the summertime, stacking lumber, driving forklift, stocking doors, windows, loading up stuff into people's vehicles. The worst was at the end of the day, you had all these lumber stacks, and Furrow wanted to make sure that at the end of the day, those were leveled. All the lumber stacks were leveled. So people would go through and look for the perfect 2x4, and they are just destroying the stack. You know, like 5 rows, 10 high of lumber that's all supposed to be just perfect. Oh, that was killer. So you would have to wear blue jeans, of course, steel-toed boots, a tool belt that had a few things in it, a back brace which you had to wear, and a hard hat, and leather gloves. Once a week, I would go all the way through the leather gloves. They were destroyed by once a week. I would have to get a new pair because there would be holes in them from leveling lumber and dirty from head to toe. I mean, before lunch, your shirt is soaked through with sweat. I mean, but anyway, teaches you hard work. So then finally, I got out of there, got my break with Fox. Became a master control operator at Fox. And then when I did that...
And for those of you who don't know, that's what keeps the station on the air.
Yeah, master control operator, runs the commercials, runs the programming, last line of defense for whatever goes out onto the TV. So, most of the time you're running a commercial break every 7 minutes or something like that. And then you record shows off satellite and stuff. Perfect job for college, because there's enough downtime that you could read, do papers, write some stuff, study, all those things. And then, at the time, it was 4 days a week, 10-hour shifts. And it was 4:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. So then I could go to school during the day and work at night and do my homework and study while I'm getting paid to do a job. So that worked out perfectly. Yeah. And then it just so happened that... as I'm going through school, they know what I'm going to school for. And then when I graduate, I'm trying to get, an on-air job. And there was a, just caught a break that something came up at Fox that I could do on air, that the general manager knew that I was interested in that. So from there,
yeah,
it's not been crazy. But gosh, just from there, though.
I know.
I have worked, Mary Jo, at one time or another, all four TV stations in Lexington. Fox, yes. LEX, yep. KYT, TVQ.
Yep.
I didn't even mention TVQ. I was there for 5 years. Yeah, I've had a ton of jobs. In between, when
and
I came...
you worked in Georgia?
Yeah. When I came back from Georgia, I was part-time sports photographer for 18 while I worked at the Saddlebred Association, the American Saddlebred Horse Association. It was like their communications manager for, I don't know, 16 months or something like that. Which, that was a pretty sweet job.
Yeah.
But I had to be back in TV.
Just not what you wanted to do. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've had like 15 jobs or something. I have not even mentioned a couple in there. My mom just texted me like, what about this job? I'm not going to go there. I'm just not going to bring up that job.
3-1-13-13. If you've got a funny job story, we'd love to hear it. We will get back to UK football now.
Yes.
But this has been such a window into Dan's world, and it's been so hilarious. Been so hilarious.
I enjoyed your movie theater episode.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
Of course you had quite, I ate so much popcorn. Everyone always asked me, did you get sick of it? And I never, ever did. Like, I ate popcorn. And you would be appalled now because we just had a big bin, and I would just eat straight out of the bin while people were standing there just with my hands, with my greasy hands. And we drank all the pop we could ever drink.
Oh, yeah. I cannot eat movie popcorn. I do sometimes, and it always makes me kind of nauseous.
And I can't go to the movies without it. Cannot do it.
Well, I can, but if somebody's got it, if we decide to get it, then I can't not eat some. But then I don't know if it's the butter on it or what, but like an hour later, I feel like, oh, God, I feel sick.
You also just feel real greasy.
Yes.
Feel real greasy, but yeah. It's so good. It is so good.
All right, we're going to talk UK football next. There's a couple things we need to get to, a couple news items from this week that we will talk about here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, y'all, Bo Hunter here. For quite some time, I've been telling you about my favorite store, R&R Archery and Outdoors. Hunting season is almost here, and they've got great closeout prices on all Bear archery bows. Seriously, why would you even consider buying a new bow anywhere else? They have great prices on all their equipment, an amazing selection in stock, and offer setup and service of your new equipment that you just can't get from some big box store. Plus, now through September 30th, go to R&R Archery for the Hoyt Defiant Test Drive event. With the area's best indoor shooting range, you can test drive the new Defiant bow from Hoyt. While you're there, don't forget to enter the Hoyt Sweepstakes. You might just win a 2016 custom Ram truck from Hoyt. Remember, great closeout prices and all Bear bows, including the Apprentice, Escape, and Arena, while supplies last. When they're gone, they're gone. This is Bo Hunter. You can hit your target every time. With R&R Archery, 106 Osborne Way in the Walmart Shopping Center off I-75 in Georgetown.
Keeping the best of the best when it comes to employees is the difference between good and great companies. That's why companies that want to show their employees how much they value them choose Highbridge Springs Water. Cool, crisp, and always fresh. That's the taste of Highbridge. Family-owned and operated means unmatched service to your business. Visit our website or call us toll-free for delivery to your home or business at 888-547-6971 and ask for Kim. She'll take real good care of you. Highbridge Springs puts the back in refreshment.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
Kentucky students, if you need money for college this fall, you'd better brush up on your financial aid lingo. Check out these vocabulary words. FAFSA, the application for state and federal student aid. Verification, when the government contacts you about the accuracy of your FAFSA. EFC, expected family contribution, the amount that Congress expects you and your family to pay for school. You'll find lots more financial aid definitions at KIA.com, the website of the Kentucky Higher Education Assistance Authority.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This may be your best performance yet, Josh, musically. I have enjoyed everything you've played.
Yeah.
I've had no complaints.
Dan, you have no idea how much that just warms my soul today.
Hey, speaking of warming the soul, let me tell you, that root beer that you provided from the root beer stand in Corbin last week. Oh, after Sunday's show last week, Josh handed me a jug of root beer from the root beer stand in Corbin, which I have not had that stuff, and I can't tell you how long. But
I didn't even know that place existed.
Yeah, it's next to the high school, Corbin High School, and it's just a little bitty mom and pop type drive-in, one of those old school drive-ins. They just drive up and get a chili dog and a root beer. The root beer, it was like I was discovering root beer again for the first time. I'm not kidding you. You take a sip of that and you're like, "Oh my goodness." the flavors, it was insane. It was so good. I was like, I can't believe it's this good. So before the summer is out, I've got to get my kids down there to experience it firsthand. And the chili dogs, which they love, of course.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I don't know. You're not American.
Yeah.
If you don't. All right. So a couple things on UK football. Lloyd Tubman. You remember the defensive end, defensive tackle from Louisville that was a pretty big get for UK at the time, important. And he got into some trouble. He was accused, I think, of assault.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It became something where the university
got involved.
Yeah, banned him. Like, they're bored. They're, mm-hmm. you know, what they, their own investigation, they said no. I think legally he was cleared. He didn't get charged. I think he was cleared. His name was cleared legally in the court system. So it was one of those things where he didn't do anything wrong in the eyes of the law, but the university saw it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to go. Hands were tied. That's it. Now he's wound up at Austin Peay, which is on the schedule for Kentucky this year. So. We mentioned earlier on the show, Charles Walker, another kid from Louisville, got the scholarship, the walk-on. And then, we haven't mentioned this yet, but during the week, Marcus Spears of the SEC Network, he was putting together the SEC Dream Team defense. Defensive line, he chose Texas A&M. So they've got the best defensive line. Now, linebackers, he kind of went a little crazy. He went Vanderbilt linebackers.
Is that because he felt like he had to have every school represented?
No, I mean, because he's only doing four groups.
Yeah, that's true. Just I would not groups. Have put Vanderbilt.
Maybe, you know, something we don't. I guess Vanderbilt does have some good linebackers, but
over Alabama?
The best in the SEC. Maybe he didn't want to put two groups from one school. Safeties, Alabama.
Okay.
He put Alabama's safeties. Cornerbacks, UK.
Yeah.
He mentioned Chris Westry and Derek Beatty by name and basically said the best cornerback duo in the SEC is Chris Westry and Derek Beatty at UK.
And think about that, because they're young still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think how good they
true sophomores.
Be. Yeah.
And behind them are like Devontae Robinson and Jordan Griffin.
Yeah.
Two guys that are long, rangy guys with big, bright futures, no doubt. So that was very encouraging to hear Marcus Spears give Kentucky that kind of praise for their corners. It's pretty good.
The bowl projections came out from CBS, and they did have Kentucky in a bowl, the Liberty Bowl in Memphis.
So they've played in one before against East Carolina. That was, correct me if I'm wrong, but did maybe Ventrell Jenkins pick up a fumble and run it back in that game?
I'm not sure. I think Jeremy Jarman had a good game.
Yeah.
Because I almost ran over him in my car before the game.
Oh.
I almost ruined it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I seem to remember Ventrell picking up a fumble late and running it back for a touchdown. Anyway, I could see that. I mean, it all starts with Southern Miss. Got to win that game.
Yeah.
Offensive line is going to be important.
Did they? Well, I guess Marcus Spears would only talk defense, right? They didn't go over.
Yeah, at that time. Yeah. He just talked defense. Like, Kentucky's not going to be named offensive line, but they're so solid there with John Toth and Nick Haynes and Ramsey Myers in the middle, those three. And then this week, John Schlarman said that Cole Mosier, a former walk-on, is locking down the left tackle spot. And then we've heard this talk about how impressive Landon Young has been. Mm-hmm. Eddie Grant said it this week. Drew Barker mentioned him by name this week. So he could play some at right tackle. But then you got George Asafo Ajay, and then Logan Stenberg. And I just think, and then the attention to pass protection that they're working on, I think those guys, if those guys can protect Drew Barker, this could really be, they could have something.
Yeah.
Because these running backs, I mean, they've got good running backs. And then
receivers, and Greg Hart is really coming on at tight end. And, and you know, I think C.J. Conrad was the foregone conclusion as the pass-catching tight end. But if Greg Hart can make a contribution there, too, if you've got two guys in there, it may be a little bit of a, you know, resurgence of that, which we haven't seen for a really long time. So offensively, I have, you know, Drew Barker's the only question, right?
Yeah.
So if he does well, then I think the offense is just fine.
Everything we're hearing, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There was a practice this week, I want to say maybe Tuesday, where the last period was red zone, and Eddie Grand came up to the tight end group and said, "You're going to get a chance to prove yourself today. Show me that you belong out there." And C.J. Conrad said, "They did. They had a good day in the red zone, presented themselves as big targets to Drew Barker." And Vince Marrow said that Greg Hart is as good as C.J. Conrad. You guys just haven't had a chance to see it yet.
And they said what happened at Vandy will not happen again.
Right.
But so, nor should it.
So if you're looking at Conrad and Hart being interchangeable, now you got two of those guys.
Or, I mean, you've got the ability to play, you know, to have a couple of plays in your book with two tight ends.
Yes. Well, they said they like to go with that. They like to play two tight ends quite a bit. And then this change that they've made with the running backs that Grand has really emphasized. I guess he's really worked on details, but there's one thing that he particularly harps on, and he won't play you if you don't adhere to the rule, which is one-step cuts. No east-west stuff. When you find where you need to go, you plant that foot, make your cut, and go. You don't dance. So you hit that hole, you see where it goes, and you get through there. One plant and go. No juking and jiving, none of that. And they're all doing it. And Mikel Horton says he likes being the power guy, that he's embracing it. He's playing the way he should that way. Boone Williams says he's getting up and down. But I got to say something about Boom the other day just didn't seem right. I don't know if he just was tired of talking to reporters, but he was very, and of course he's, you know, lost his sister too. But when he was talking about that, he had a different demeanor. But when he was talking about the other stuff, it was more, I don't know how you describe it, joyless, like, or lifeless, or no emotion attached to it whatsoever. Which, where you talk to other guys, they have some of that. And Boom in the past
has had that.
He's had a smile, and so I don't know. Something was different about him, and maybe it's just that day. Particularly, it was yesterday. So I don't know.
And we may know a little bit more about the direction of some of the lineups and stuff after today, because they're scrimmaging probably right about now.
Yes, and you will hear, around 1:30-ish today, you'll start seeing tweets about what's being said by Stoops and Elliott and Gran and some of the players. About 1:30 this afternoon, we'll get reports on that, and of course, we'll talk about it tomorrow right here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that.
Yes.
What they've talked about this week is competitive. That everything's been competitive. Like, they always say they don't want it to be one-sided, either way, offense or defense, and they don't want the success to come from the failures of the other, mistakes by one side of the ball.
And it's always so hard to tell that when you're going against each other.
So they have said, for the most part this week, that it's been both sides making plays instead of failures, and part of that comes from more experience on the field. All right, something else I want to get into is get back to Olympics before we say goodbye for today.
By the way, it's DeMarcus Cousins' birthday today.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
I didn't either till Coach Cal just tweeted it.
Well, that's something I want to talk about is the UK men's basketball team when we come back here, because that is – it's not going well.
It's scary.
It's not going well.
Yeah.
We'll do that next here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Here's what another satisfied customer, Ann from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at barkleyblevins.com.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
It's hot, but the sales in Aurora are hotter. Save up to 50% off all in-stock patio collections, five-piece dining sets starting at $3.99, and 50% off select outdoor accessories. Get a 21-foot above-ground pool for $29.95, installation included. Limited quantities available. Shop Central Kentucky's largest selection of in-stock spas from the top-of-the-line brands starting at $36.95. Cash in on the end-of-summer clearance sale at Aurora.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
No matter if your vehicle is personal or business, Fleet Doc will take care of it with a 24-month nationwide guarantee on all parts and labor as a TechNet professional member. Even complimentary roadside assistance is available should you break down. Fleet Doc has everything to be your trusted vehicle doctor.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bing-ba-bing-ba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Moses is in Georgetown is the destination for parts and services for all of your lawn equipment. 511 North Broadway in Georgetown, across from the Broadway Mini Mart. They offer services for Cub Cadet, Troy-Bilt, Husqvarna, Sears Craftsman, Poulan, and many more. Summer's in full swing, so don't forget about Moses's. They'll keep your lawn looking hot as the season. Moses is in Georgetown, the only stop for expert service on all your outdoor power equipment. Located at 511 North Broadway in Georgetown, across from the Broadway Mini Mart.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live.
Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mary Jo, with all the injustices leading up to the Olympics in Rio, all that was going on, I wanted to dislike it, ban it, not watch it. I just can't help myself. I can't.
I wasn't even excited.
No, I wasn't either.
I can't take my eyes off it.
Exactly. Exactly. Cannot stop watching it. Usain Bolt just ran just now. I mean, I would love to just go home and watch it all day, but too much stuff to do. But anyway, I have been glued to it, and one of the biggest disappointments, well, two things. One was the U.S. women's soccer team yesterday losing.
Yes.
I'm watching that and just, crushed when they lose. And Hope Solo, I just didn't realize, I guess, I have not watched enough soccer to realize that when it comes down to penalty kicks, the goalie is just guessing. The keeper is just guessing which way to go because there's not enough time to react to the ball. Yeah. So you've got to pick left or right and hope you're right. And then you look foolish if you picked left and it goes right. Looks like you don't even belong on the field. So now that's the way you're going to decide an entire game, a match?
With medals and stuff on the line,
A guessing game? So I think it's a horrible way to decide something. And look, I'm Johnny come lately to this. I mean, all you people who have been following soccer and made it a life and all that, you can fair criticism coming my way because I'm just jumping in on this thing. But then for Hope Solo afterward, especially given her past, to come out and say the best team didn't win, they're cowards.
The Swedish team is cowards.
Yeah. Which I say, and what she meant by it was the strategy that they used, that they were trying to slow the game down, be physical, and not let soccer kind of be played the way it was meant to be played, not open it up a little bit and just bog it down. And that strategy was the strategy they decided was best for them.
And it worked.
Yes.
That's the thing, though.
Against a team that has never not been in the gold medal round. Okay, so this is the team that you've got to get through to get to the medal stand.
Yeah.
And so I understand on one end that she's frustrated by the style of play and frustrated that the team that has been the best in the Olympics did not move on. But I subscribe to the philosophy that no matter how bad you were cheated, frustrated, whatever, if you lose to that team, you can complain about it to somebody else. But publicly, you do not belittle the other team in any way. You guys played. Whatever happened, happened. You lost. Bad call. Doesn't matter. You lost. You may say it stinks to lose that way, but you don't belittle the other team.
I think the Williams sisters did that.
Yeah.
They were upset and, their first match.
Yeah.
They were gold medal favorites. But it wasn't like they berated the ones that beat them.
Right. Hope Solo's the worst.
Yeah.
Women's basketball.
Crushing.
Yes. They're going to gold. Gino Auriemma's entire team from the last 10 years is on the roster, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Tina Charles, Brianna Stewart, Maya Moore. And then one of the girls from Canada, Kia Nurse is her name. She plays for Connecticut now, and she plays for Canada. So that they played each other. So there were six maybe, girls from Connecticut on the floor at the same time in the Olympics yesterday. That's why Gino Auriemma and Connecticut is a dynasty.
Yeah, right.
He gets the best players out there. But the U.S. men's team, gold is not so assured.
I mean, they're living on a yacht. There was no chance in France or Brazil that they were not going to win gold. And now, even after they played Australia, they're down at halftime. They come back and win that game by 11. And you kind of think to yourself, well, was that a one-off? kind of a game.
Right. Well, I think Kyrie Irving even said after the game, this was the wake-up call we needed.
Yeah. But then they faced Serbia yesterday.
And they were not woke.
No.
They were still sleepy. And Serbia played a strategy, probably like the Swedish did in women's soccer, that was foul it, slow it down, keep the Americans from running up and down the court, which is their game. You can't let them run. In the half court, And afterward, what did my man say? Paul George. Because I'm thinking this while we're watching it, and Paul George says it afterward. I'm like, thank you. I guess I do know what I'm talking about. Paul George says, we're relying too much on our natural talent and making it easy for teams to guard us one-on-one. They're just loading up on us. We need ball movement, and we should have made more tweaks. Now, I don't think he meant a jab at Coach K, but it is. Mm-hmm. We needed to do something in the game. Once we saw what they were doing, we needed to make some kind of adjustment and tweak to counter the way they're playing us.
But that's also kind of how I thought about the women's soccer team.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get beat by a style of play and not adjust to it,
right,
then everyone's going to play that style against you and you'll never win again. So there's got to be some adjustments that you can make in those situations.
That's what Paul, it came down to, here's what it came down to last night against Serbia. It's a 3-point game. Serbia's best 3-point shooter gets a wide open look on an inbound with 5 seconds left and misses it, or else the game's going to overtime. If he hits that, it's going to overtime. And he got a wide open look. U.S. looked bad on defense and offense. Paul George just said, they were playing exactly that. Isolation ball, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Not moving it around. It was horrible. Kyrie Irving did some stuff that was just horrible. DeMarcus Cousins did not look good. Defensively, he was abused. It was embarrassing at times for DeMarcus Cousins. You hate to say that, but he just was abused. I mean, this one guy got him going with one fake, a spin, another fake, a spin and a basket, and had DeMarcus Cousins just stepping and fetching. I mean, he's going one way and the guy's going the other way. Or he's getting beat off the bounce. Or he's turning it over, making a bad pass. I mean, they were just not looking good at all. And Doug Collins made the point that there's only two holdovers from the previous teams. So these guys playing together, it's all kind of new. And they don't practice.
Yeah.
They've had like maybe 5 or 6 practices. Once they get to the Olympics and stuff, that's done. They don't practice anymore. They try to relax and not get injured.
So let me ask you this, and I realize the team that is assembled for the U.S. is far and away better than any other team that's playing there. I mean, you've got Durant and Kyrie Irving and DeMarcus, and you've got great players. But let's say they don't win the gold. Then in 4 years, the LeBrons of the world and the Chris Pauls of the world. And 4 years from now, it might be different names.
Yeah.
But do the best players, Steph Curry, do they say, okay, we'll go now?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think two things happened. One was the finals. You know?
But Kyrie and Clay are there.
True. That's true.
And Draymond Green?
Rio had something to do with it. I think just it being in Rio. I think LeBron, just being his age, had something to do with it.
I think what it boils down to is LeBron's got a gold medal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've done that. But for professional basketball players, if you said you can win an NBA title or a gold medal, they're all going to take the NBA championship over the gold medal, right? I mean, that's the eclipse in their sport. It's not a gold medal. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's got the same importance level as it does for the traditional Olympic sports. I think that's part of it too. Like, why risk injury, all that stuff, if it's going to jeopardize your chance at winning a championship? But
it reminds me of the Heat with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, when they all came together. Oh, we're going to win all these titles. And it was a rocky start. Like, remember, people were panicking. The reactions were just ridiculous early on when they were not dominating everybody. Eventually they made it to the finals, but they didn't win that first one.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. even though you have all the talent in the world, it takes time to play together. And I think what Serbia and Australia showed is they play team basketball.
Yeah. Like
they move it around. They know how to play with each other. And the U.S. doesn't seem to have figured out how to play with each other yet. And they haven't had time to. And now they're trying to figure it out in the middle of the Olympics.
But I'm just saying, if you already are the one and only team out of every group in the Olympics, not staying in the village, and you've rented a yacht, you'd think that it's just going to come to you.
Yeah.
Like that appears to be their mentality, is that they're just going to come over here and win. And now hopefully they've had two wake-up calls. So let's see.
I'm also Kyrie Irving for the Cavaliers. I like him for the Cavaliers. I'm not big on the way he's played in this Olympics. All right, tomorrow we will talk more UK football, the scrimmage. We'll have reaction to that on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Thanks for listening.
Covering the NFL like no other, Mike and Mike.
Fascinating news developing from the...